Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentations, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question at that time, you may press star one. This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rick Mayo. Sir, you may begin.
Thanks, and welcome everyone to the presentation of the Tivoli Service Automation Manager 7.2. You should have the charts out on the Tivoli Talk library. What I'd like to talk about today is the TSAM product, which is really the cornerstone of our cloud management strategy from Tivoli. You know, we have, a single offering that really encompasses the key components you need to build a cloud environment. And we'll talk about in this presentation some of the customer pains and the description of cloud computing from IBM, some of the benefits of cloud that you'll see, the product capabilities, and obviously what's new in the 7.2 release. And then I'll also talk a little bit about the ROI and some of the fast payback we're seeing in implementing a cloud implementation. So with that, let's go into the presentation on chart two. We see the pressures on IT today, and I think most of you that have been selling cloud in the cloud environment or selling really any of the Tivoli products are seeing some of these same pressures about the conflicting demands on the business, and really it's a continual drumbeat of doing more with less. People want to implement applications faster, deliver newer services more quickly, and do that at a lower cost. And I think a lot of organizations are feeling pressure to, you know, continually reduce costs and deliver more services, and are seeing that with their current capacity, with the current set of skills they have, that it becomes increasingly difficult to leverage those skills, you know, over a continually expanding set of services, and at the same time trying to manage their costs. And a lot of the IT managers that we deal with are looking at cloud computing as a way to address those challenges. You know, can they leverage cloud to actually lower their costs and at the same time improve the quality of the services they're delivering? So if we move on to chart three, we start to look at some of the savings and how cloud can meet those challenges that we've described. And I think if you look at the graph in the bottom right, you'll see this kind of unit cost over time and the dramatic savings from moving from a traditional infrastructure into an internal cloud-based environment. And when you look at traditional infrastructure today, you know, a lot of customers are, you know, have x86 servers that are very, you know, lightly utilized, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20% utilization on their boxes, because they're really kind of structured to meet peak demands that don't occur very often. So they tend to have a lot of excess capacity that's not being utilized, as well as the management aspects of managing all these individual servers that have grown over time. Versus moving to more of a cloud environment where they have, you know, virtualization, and of course you probably talk to a lot of your customers that are looking at some consolidation or virtualization product. You know, we're seeing a big ramp up in demand for our products that deal with virtualization and the consolidation aspects. So I think customers are really moving in that direction, and kind of the next step of that move or the next logical progression is to go from just consolidating and virtualizing into a cloud-based delivery model. And I think as you start to, you know, do more automation of the provisioning capabilities, you know, a self-serve portal where customers can access those services more quickly, that you start to see these dramatic savings from the traditional infrastructure into the private cloud. And you see on the left some of the savings that customers can realize in projects that GTS has been involved in, where they can start to reduce their labor costs significantly, dramatically improve the utilization of their services, reduce their cycle time as far as provisioning, and reduce their overall IT support costs. And I think when you look at that chart, and I've seen Irving Wadowski-Berger over the summer presented this chart to a group, And, you know, his take was that it's really, you know, one of the few times in the computer industry when you start to see these dramatic shifts from, you know, one kind of phase of technology to the other. And he felt that, that cloud was one of those times when you start to see these huge gaps between the cost of doing things the way they're being done today versus on a cloud infrastructure, that that's really a hard thing to ignore. I think customers, you know, would be ill-served saying, well, we'll wait a few years and see if this really catches on, because as their competitors move to a cloud-based infrastructure and start to realize these savings, I think it'll be a dramatic savings for them and a way for them to reduce cost and improve their bottom-line numbers. And I think the other aspect is that, you know, a lot of customers, we also hear kind of have a knee-jerk reaction to cloud, that they've heard a lot of the hype about cloud. And a lot of times they're seeing, a reaction from, you know, well, we don't want to put our services into a public cloud environment. We're worried about security or availability of those services. And a lot of the hype that you hear is around public cloud. I mean, that's where Amazon, Google, and a lot of companies are focused in, you know, wanting to really, you know, sell the public cloud services. And a lot of our customers, especially big enterprise customers, you know, really aren't ready to make that move in most cases beyond maybe their email or those kind of services. So I think, you know, you have to be careful if the customer has a negative reaction to cloud initially to really probe that and say, well, is that, you know, from a public cloud perspective? And a lot of what we're focused on with our Service Automation Manager offering is more setting up an internal private cloud environment where you don't have the same security availability concerns, but you're actually driving a lot of savings internally by doing that. And it's kind of interesting where the analysts and the press is really focused on the public cloud hype. But when you see the surveys of where customers are interested, particularly the large customers, they're more, you know, 2-to-1 interested in private cloud. So I think you have to be careful that your customer isn't confused by those two things, that if, you know, they tend to have a knee-jerk reaction that says, you know, well, we're worried about security and availability, you know, make it clear that this is more of a private cloud focus than a public, although the same technologies could be used if you're a service provider in a public cloud, but that's really the main focus of this presentation. And later on in this presentation, we'll talk more about this ROI and what the savings are. And as you'll see as we go through the presentation, a lot of the savings are driven by the capabilities in the Service Automation Manager product. So I'd keep that in mind as we go through this and then get to the ROI presentation at the end. All right, well, let's move into a kind of the definition of cloud computing. And this is just kind of a level set on when we talk about cloud, we are talking about, you know, really a new service consumption and delivery model. And by that, we mean the ability for customers to request the services they need through a self-service portal, being able to get access to those services very quickly and in an on-demand kind of fashion, and also that they're really not concerned about where the services are, that, you know, from an IT perspective, they can, you know, kind of break the link between, you know, people owning particular systems or services, because now they've virtualized those resources, so that it's really an independent resource pool that they can, you know, provision resources to and then deprovision those resources when they're no longer needed, which is really the concept of this rapid elasticity, that you can quickly add more servers to a service that's growing and needs more capability and can quickly reduce those servers as the needs change and the demand reduces. So those are some key concepts that are, again, enabled by the Service Automation Manager product. And if we look at chart 5, it shows kind of the three major areas that we'll be talking about in the rest of the presentation around the capability aspects. And those are in the three areas of, you know, simplifying this interaction with IT, that, you know, through a self-service interface, you can make the services readily available. And those services are delivered through a service catalog where you can define the services you want your customers to access, which gives you a nice way to kind of drive standards and deliver consistent services to your customers. Secondly, when you talk about delivering provisioning, having the automation behind that, so when they select a service, it's not, we'll provision it in a month to you, but you can have automation and workflows that can deliver those services very rapidly and then allows you to implement policies so you can, know when those assets are no longer needed and release them and reuse them. And we'll talk more about that. And lastly, the third item is when we talked about the Service Automation Manager really being the keystone product or the cornerstone for the Tivoli Cloud Computing solution, we're also doing more integration. So not only does the Service Automation Manager deliver the portal and the catalog and the provisioning capabilities, but it's also becoming more of an integration point for other offerings. And we'll talk about the integration with the IBM CloudBurst release, which is coming out at the same time as the 7.2 release, better integration with the WebSphere CloudBurst appliance. I know I've gotten notes recently from some Tivoli reps that want to bring in their WebSphere counterpart into deals and know how the products interrelate, and we'll talk about that. And also the usage and accounting, the Tivoli Usage and Accounting Manager product. This is another integration that I think will be really key for us in the 7.2 release, as well as with the CloudBurst offering is also delivering the Tivoli Usage and Accounting Manager. Because in a lot of customers, as they start moving to a more cloud-based environment, are very concerned about being able to charge back those services and be able to do better planning and understand, how those services are being used. So I think that's another key piece of integration. So let's look at each of these areas in a little more detail. So in chart six, I think the first thing you'll recognize here in this graphic is, we have a new interface in the 7.2 version of the product. We've moved to a Web 2.0-based GUI. I think it's a nice upgrade from the GUI we had in the first release of the product. And it does give you the ability to, clearly go in and set up, as you see here, the times you want that service to be available. You can specify a beginning date and an end date for the service. And then at the bottom, you can select the CPU, memory, how much disk space you want for that service as it's provisioned. And we also have the concept of the reservation of resources in this release, where you can specify, a date in the future that you want that service delivered. Maybe you want it, 2 weeks from now and available for, 2 weeks. So you can specify that through the interface. And I took kind of the main screenshot, out of here just to kind of give you an overview of the screen you'd see when you're requesting a service. But I think as you'll see, and we should have a demo ready next week, that really shows kind of the capabilities of the Web 2.0 interface. So I think you'll want to review that demo to see the great enhancements that have been made in as far as the UI for this release of the product. But when we talk about the self-serve portal and the service catalog, these are really two of the key underpinnings of setting up a cloud-based environment. And when you look at chart 7, we kind of compare and contrast the traditional infrastructure where you had somebody, filling out a paper form or maybe even an online form for a service that would usually require a lot of manual processing. They'd have to go in and check with IT to see if the service is being provisioned. Hopefully they had the hardware available because if they had to order hardware, that would obviously delay it even further. And then there would typically be some manual provisioning where you'd have to have your expert go in and provision a new environment to make this service available versus what we can do with the Tivoli Service Automation Manager, where we do have a self-serve portal where the user can go in and select from a catalog of services the service they need. They can then track that workflow online, which is part of the offering to do the automation of the workflow capability. So as that is routed to various people that might need to approve it, that is all customizable, how it's routed, who does the approving, whether you can even automate the approval process is all done through this through the UI now. And also it drives the provisioning, so you can do the provisioning quickly and really make those services available to the users very easily. And this leads to a number of benefits. And on Chart 8, as I was talking to the sales organization, you know, about the 7.2 release and some of the new capabilities, one of the things they thought we really needed to highlight that they felt was resonating with the customers they talked to is that as they implement a service catalog, which is, you know, one of the underpinnings of the TSAM offering, that, you know, with the service catalog, they can really start to get the benefits of having a standard-based set of services that are being delivered. And, of course, what does this mean from a kind of a real-world perspective? So I got this example from one of the sales folks that said, you know, they have a customer that was looking to implement a kind of a critical new business service, and the developer, you know, had to quickly get this service developed and deployed in a short period of time. And, of course, he went out to find a system to develop it on and, you know, found an old back-level, in this case a back-level Solaris box that he developed the application on. And when they went to put it into production, you know, that level of the operating system wasn't even in support any longer. But they found out it wouldn't run with the production-level operating system that they were running on the production server. So they actually had to install this, you know, out-of-support level of the operating system into production so they could install this critical application and deliver it on time and then go back and figure out, you know, what they needed to change to make it work with the current release. And I think this is a nice kind of, you know, real-life example of, you know, the benefits of driving services through a standard service catalog where you can have the developer, in this case, as you see at the bottom of the chart, could have went into the self-service portal. His only selections would have been the, you know, currently supported operating system. It would have provisioned that environment for him. He could have developed his application, you know, on the production standard environment and then deployed it into production without any problems versus, you know, finding some old back-level system and then having problems when it went to the production deployment phase. So I think this is a nice example that customers can relate to. You know, it's not just, you know, cloud hype and, you know, what's this really buying me? But I think you can see that, you know, driving standards through a service catalog is really a way to deliver the services you need and, you know, make things a lot more efficient from an IT perspective. On Chart 9, another capability in kind of the second major area is the whole concept of automated provisioning. And new in the 7.2 release is the image management capability, where instead of, you know, doing things on a product-by-product basis as far as the provisioning, you can do things at an image level where you can just image the whole system, save that, restore it easily, you know, make updates to the images if you need to patch it, those kind of things. So obviously having image management in the 7.2 release is a major new addition for us. That I think a lot of customers were very interested in the 7.2 offering, as well as we've upgraded the Tivoli Provisioning Manager to the 7.1.1 version. So now we see another screenshot here of selecting resources that you want to make available, and it really, you know, speeds the delivery of those resources. On Chart 10, we talk about provisioning systems faster and lower cost. I think a lot of these benefits, you know, are really key to the story of cloud computing and the cost savings, where if you have a traditional infrastructure today where you're depending on, you know, very highly skilled resource to deploy and configure your applications, you know, there might be many, you know, error-prone steps in that. Obviously, it requires a long lead time as you, you know, usually have a bottleneck in those skilled resources and their availability to deploy the applications with the Tivoli Provisioning Manager, which is part of the service automation package. You can now have automated scripts, so you can have, you know, less skilled resource deploy those applications, and they're provisioned consistently. You know, if you have a script that's being executed to provision it, it's, you know, much faster. And it's also provisioned the same every time. So there's not variability where, you know, there might be some changes made as the expert is going through a long manual process. But if there's an automated script, you can be assured that it's delivering the, the capability to you the same each time. And on chart 11 is another example from sales about the automation of policy as you get into automated provisioning. And this is another area that we found is resonating with customers, that they want to be, you know, more in control of the environment, so they can set up policy actions to occur through the Service Automation Manager offering, that each time that they provision, maybe they, you know, want to deprovision a resource. So the policy will be to take an image of that resource. So if it needs to be reprovisioned, they can do that quickly. And at the end of that scheduled time, whatever they specified in the UI, if they said they needed it for 2 weeks, at the end of that 2 weeks, they can be notified that the image is being deprovisioned. And then if they need to extend that time, they'll have an image of it that can be quickly reprovisioned. And that's actually an interesting aspect as we look at, you know, kind of the psychology of implementing cloud computing, even internally, as we started to develop cloud services for our own development and test organizations. There is kind of the mentality is that kind of been drilled into them over the years, that you don't want to give up resources because it'll be too hard to get it back. So I think with the automated provisioning, you can start to really make developers comfortable that, you know, if they need resources for a month and at the end of that month they'll be deprovisioned, but they can quickly, you know, reprovision them if needed, there'll be less kind of hoarding of resources where the developer might say, well, I'm going to keep this, you know, around for a year in case I need it again. They'll be more likely to be able to give up that resource and let it be reused by somebody else, knowing that they can quickly reprovision it if needed. So I think as time goes on, we'll see even greater savings through cloud computing as people get more used to the idea that they can actually, you know, get the services back when they need them. So I think that's another key aspect to consider. On chart 12, let's kind of move into some of the other integration areas that are delivered with the 7.2 release. And these three areas are the ones we'll look at in more detail. The first one being CloudBurst 1.2. As you might have heard, the next release that's coming out next week of the IBM CloudBurst offering will have the TSAM 7.2 product as kind of its key UI, and it'll take care of the scheduling and provisioning and all the capabilities we've just seen will be part of that CloudBurst release. So we're really bringing together the Service Automation Manager and the CloudBurst into a consistent look and feel. We'll also talk about the WebSphere CloudBurst appliance integration and the new capabilities we have there for integration, and then the Tivoli Usage and Accounting Manager so you can get better visibility to the cloud usage across the environment. So let's start with 13, looking at the IBM CloudBurst integration. And here, as you're probably familiar with CloudBurst that was delivered back in June, is really an integrated hardware, software, services capability where you can buy the entire set of capabilities for implementing a private cloud through the CloudBurst offering. You know, it essentially rolls in the box, which is preloaded with the software and the services that will set it up. So when they leave, essentially, you'll have a system ready to start provisioning services on. So it really improves the time to value, you know, decreases the capital expense, as we've seen, by doing that integration. And with the 7.2 offering, you know, it'll be providing the self-serve portal, the service catalog, the provisioning capabilities, and other integration capabilities with WebSphere and TUAM that we'll be describing. So I think it's, you know, a really good feature that we've combined the CloudBurst release and the TSAM 7.2 capability. So now that's all in a consistent interface between the products. On chart 14, we look at the WebSphere CloudBurst appliance. And I know we've heard a lot of comments just over the naming since we have the IBM CloudBurst, which is the integrated offering that I just described, and the WebSphere CloudBurst appliance, which is WebSphere's version of an appliance focused on delivering, you know, WebSphere virtual images and patterns. So what we've done is to take these two capabilities and really marry them together, because when you look at the WebSphere CloudBurst appliance, you know, if it's provisioning WebSphere applications into a cloud environment, well, obviously it needs a cloud to provision those resources into, which is where IBM CloudBurst comes in, that it can provide that cloud environment that WebSphere can then communicate with. So what we've done through the TSAM offering is to allow TSAM to go out and discover the patterns by connecting to the WebSphere CloudBurst appliance. It can see the patterns that it has available for deployment, and as part of its provisioning script, can request, you know, those patterns to be delivered through the CloudBurst appliance from WebSphere and deployed onto the IBM CloudBurst private cloud. So this is a nice way that, you know, if you're in the CloudBurst environment, you want to provision a WebSphere app, it'll automatically talk to the CloudBurst appliance from WebSphere, provision those into the private cloud, and make those services available. So I think it's a really nice story for customers, and I know some salespeople have been asking me about this capability and wanted to talk to about it with their customers, and I think it's a nice way to position these two as very complementary, and with this release, you know, even more synergistic, because now they can work together seamlessly to deliver those WebSphere applications into the cloud. So I think that'll be a good capability to talk about with your customers. On chart 15, the last capability as far as the integration is the integration with the TUAM product, the Tivoli Usage and Accounting. And really, this is a way where the CloudBurst appliance or the TSAM standalone offering can start collecting the metrics as far as usage and who's using what services, feed that directly into the TUAM product, and then you can produce reports, and this is also part of the demo we're building to show you how this capability works, the very nice reporting capability you get. And again, this is, you know, really top of mind for a lot of cloud customers are very interested in being able to see, you know, advanced reporting, you know, who's using what services. They really want to start planning and budgeting, as well as billing back services that are being used. And, of course, as your environment becomes more virtualized, you know, it becomes more difficult at times. You know, it's not simply a matter of saying, well, this box is used by accounting and we charge them for that box. But as they start using, you know, virtual machines on other servers, it becomes more difficult to figure out, you know, exactly what their bill is. So between the integration of the Service Automation Manager and the TUAM product, we have that nice tight linkage to be able to collect the data through TSAM, deliver it to TUAM, and then generate the reports based on the actual usage. So again, another nice integration capability to talk about. All right, let's move into chart 16. Just to wrap up kind of the reporting aspects in the 7.2 release, there's a number of new reports, and you'll want to also see these in the demo that talk about the number of deployments, the CPU used, you know, instances by owner to see who's using which instances of the services. So there's a number of new reports that I think will really help provide more visibility into some of the key cloud metrics that you'll want to take advantage of. And there's a number of new reports in the 7.2 release that, you know, I think really highlight our ability to not only manage the service, but report on them also. Okay, now let's switch gears a little bit here and move into some of the payback and ROI capabilities of the cloud environment. Now, this is an area that recently developed a report on, working with IBM Research. They had gone out and looked at customers to say, you know, as they implement or look at implementing a cloud environment, you know, what are some of the key aspects of payback they're seeing or ROI? And it really focused on three key areas, one around the productivity, you know, as they're able to deliver services faster and automate those requests. What effect did that have on productivity? provisioning capabilities. Obviously, if you can automate the provisioning, as we've seen in this presentation, it can not only deliver services faster, but with better quality and more consistency. And the third area is system administration, that overall, as you have more capabilities to manage, report on the cloud environment, you can start to lower those overall system administration costs. And on average, when we looked at their study, 81% of that cloud payback was really driven by labor savings, which were enabled by service management. And, you know, the key service management capability that drove those savings are, as you might expect now, is the Tivoli Service Automation Manager product that can provide the productivity, provisioning, the administration of the cloud environment to really drive home those savings. So I think as you've seen through this presentation, you know, the Service Automation Manager is the product that allows you to deliver the portal, the catalog, the provisioning capabilities, and now the integration with usage and accounting, the CloudBurst integration, a number of key capabilities that really start to drive the ROI. So as we move on to chart 18, you know, we can start looking at some of the examples, and this is from the IBM research study that was done, where they looked at customers that were, you know, moving toward cloud computing and actually developed a model where the customer could plug in, you know, the size of their environment, what capabilities they were looking to deliver, how many projects they were moving to a cloud environment. And then they took metrics that were from maybe SO accounts or other services engagement about the service savings they had seen from other cloud customers, and were able to plug it into this model and calculate the payback these customers would see. So here we see a banking example, and this was a large customer. I think they had 400 or 500 servers. So in this case, you know, they were seeing that they could drive, you know, about a 38% savings in the first year of their provisioning costs, a 40% reduction in their administrative costs, and productivity costs were also greatly increased, although in absolute terms it was small compared to the other savings. But there were still significant savings in productivity. And the green boxes here highlight that these were areas that were driven largely through service management, you know, that this was the capabilities that you needed from products like the Service Automation Manager, that implementing those drove these kind of savings. And you can see the payback period was, you know, 4.8 months with an annual ROI of 156%. So the small amount of additional cost of the software was really paid back for, you know, many times over from the savings that could be achieved, you know, over a three-year period. And when we look at some other examples on slide 19, we see a manufacturing account, and this was a smaller, you know, SO account where they saw, you know, large increases in productivity and system administration. And in this account, since they had a smaller number of servers, the provisioning savings were a little less. But still, they had a 12-month payback period and about a 75% annual ROI on this, you know, implementing these cloud services. So again, you know, this shows you the large savings that can be delivered, you know, whether you're a large customer with a large number of servers, or even a smaller customer can start to see significant benefits. And the third example on chart 20 is more of a medium-sized customer. I think they had in the order of 40 or 50 servers, which might be, you know, more of a medium-sized customer. And again, they're seeing again a quick payback of about 6 months with 102% ROI. And as you see, you kind of have a more balanced as you get a kind of a medium-sized number of servers, where they had a 25% productivity gain, 22% in provisioning costs, and 42% in admin savings. And I think it's interesting to point out that, you know, kind of when you look at ROI initially and you look at consolidation and virtualization that lead up to cloud, you tend to think that, you know, there will be huge savings in hardware, And while there are certainly significant savings in being able to reduce your hardware footprint, but those, as in this case, were about 10% of the overall savings. But again, the vast majority of the savings were driven by the reduction in labor costs through provisioning, administration, improved productivity, that were, again, the service management kinds of savings that were enabled. So it's not always obvious that, you know, as you're implementing a cloud environment, you know, the customer might be focused on, well, yes, I can reduce my, you know, hardware footprint. But again, you really have to look at those labor savings that can be driven by the service management capabilities. All right, let's move on to chart 21. And also I would just mention back on 20 and the ROI in general, there's actually another Tivoli talk. If you, you know, found this Tivoli talk online, you'll see there's another Tivoli talk a little further down that talks about service management and cloud and the ROI savings. So I had recorded another talk that goes into more detail on the ROI, expands it as far as, you know, how the savings are achieved. And you'll see in that presentation there's, you know, some overlap with this presentation because a lot of the savings are driven by the Service Automation Manager product. And there's also a companion ROI guide that's available that is a written document. So if you wanted to present that to your customer and they had some more questions, you could give them the guide, which is about an 18-page guide that describes in even more detail the savings, how they were achieved, the data you need to collect to actually compute your own ROI savings. So there's a lot of material on that that, you know, I'd encourage you to go out and take a look at. Okay, on slide 21, we also have deployment services. If your customer is interested in Tivoli Service Automation Manager and wants to, you know, see how to get started, what the deployment would look like, we do have services capability where customer could, you know, engage our services organization and get, you know, an architecture for deploying it, installation and configuration of the product in a pre-production environment, demonstrations of the features of the product. And really, by the time the services engagement was over, they'd understand, you know, how the product works, have the basic skills instruction for the customer so they could, you know, really leave with a thorough understanding of the Service Automation Manager offering, how it's deployed, and how to use it. So I think that's a key offering you'd want to take advantage of in customer deployments. And on chart 22, we talk about the supported environments and the pricing. We see the managed from environments here being the Z, P, and X environment, and the managed to environments. And again, we've expanded our hypervisor support to support both the KVM and the Xen hypervisors. So now there's more choice if you want to use an open source hypervisor, which a lot of customers are looking at to further reduce their cost. You know, that's now an option with the Service Automation Manager product. So you can see the additional platforms we now support, as well as the pricing. The base price is 10 PPU license is $135 per 10 PPUs. And we'd also have a WebSphere option for installing it on WebSphere, which is a $39 PPU license. Okay. On chart 23, this is kind of our wrap-up from the client deck, where obviously you can go out and meet with your dynamic infrastructure or Tivoli rep to get a better understanding of the product, to participate in a workshop. And we do have a free workshop to look at products like TSAM and the IBM CloudBurst offering to get a better understanding of them. That can lead to a proposal and a services engagement to get it installed. And then on chart 24, we have the additional resources for the sellers, where we have the on Excel, the Tivoli Service Automation Manager Sales Kit, the Partner World Sales Kit, as well as there's an overall page for cloud computing resources for IBMers, which can give you a broader background if you want some background on IBM's overall cloud strategy. That last link is a good place to go to see what IBM is saying overall about cloud computing across the different brands and IBM's strategy in general. And again, if you need the presentation, we should have included the link on the ROI study, but I can provide that if you want to contact me. And I'm Mayor, M-A-Y-O-R, at us.ibm.com. So now I think we have a few minutes. If there's any questions or comments, we'd be happy to take those now.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your request, you may press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Our first question comes from Bob Menz.
Yeah, Rick, the TUAM product, is that included with TSAM, or the integration is provided, but you'd have to buy the product separately?
Yeah, with the TSAM offering, it's not included, but that would be a separate purchase to get that integration. With the IBM Cloudburst 1.2, it's actually included in that offering. So if you buy the Cloudburst product, it's included with TSAM. It's an additional offering you'd have to purchase.
Okay, thanks.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star 1. And at this time, there are no other questions.
Okay. Well, thanks, everyone. I appreciate your time today listening to the presentation. And if you're listening to the recorded version and have questions and follow-up, you can contact myself, as I say, Rick Mayo, or Mayor, at us.ibm.com, or Jim Katz, who's our sales enablement person. We'd be happy to answer your questions. Okay, thanks, everybody. I think that'll wrap it up for today.